stop and think about it for a few minutes. I read part of scripture this morning about the men that Christ said followed me. What strength it must have taken of faith and of will to drop everything that they had and to follow this man that they only heard a testimony of. That's what he's done to each and every one of us. Follow me. And it's part of that is through the foolishness of preaching that he's called different men with different life experiences to stand before us to deliver the message of the gospel of Christ. And he's knocking at our door saying, put down your defenses, hear my word, and follow me. I give you our speaker there, our brother Andy Brown.
Thank you, Jim. After that beautiful song, I feel like just sitting down and saying amen. Some of you probably wish I would. I do have a few things I would like to bring to you this evening. I have a small disclaimer first, so if you see my picture on Lindsay's Facebook, it's an imposter. I would like to start this evening. As usual, I have a little prop here, and obviously that's to try and gain some of your interest. It's not a watermelon, but it could prove ever bit as disastrous. We'll hope not. There will be some quizzes throughout this sermon this evening, so I would ask you to follow along as usual. I'm going to start in Proverbs in the 16th chapter. Just a couple short verses. And my first few scriptures may not seem like they really fit together that well, but I'm really trying to build up to something else, and hopefully we can get there eventually. Chapter 16, starting in verse 2. It says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, the first part of that verse I read there is really what I want to think about a little bit to start with. And I'll be honest with you, I was looking through Proverbs and kind of stumbled upon this verse, and I had underlined in my Bible and forgot about it. But how true that is. How oftentimes we look at ourselves and think, you know, I'm doing great. My way is good. My way is clean. I'm good. But in my own eyes, and that's why, and I've mentioned this before, oftentimes my prayer is that I'd see myself as the Lord sees me. Because I know I see myself totally different than how the Lord actually sees me. Because there's no fool in the Lord. I can look myself in the mirror and say, hey, that's a pretty good-looking fella. But we know that's not true. But I can look myself in the mirror and say, I'm a good guy. I'm doing all right, according to my own standards. The point is we have to reconcile ourselves to God's standards. We have to bring ourselves into alignment with the Word of God. And for each one of those, for the most part, each one of us, for the most part, that's a lifelong endeavor, isn't it? It's something that we hopefully are working on each and every day of our life. Let's continue. 1 Timothy, the New Testament, in Paul's writing. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll start in verse 11. It says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses." Again, I was reading this verse. I thought of you and I. I'm thinking of us, the believer. I had a really nice discussion, at least I thought it was a nice discussion, last Sunday with our sister Kathy and our brother Jerry up in Sholo, you know, and as we talked, and the nice thing about meeting in someone's home is, you know, you get to talk both ways. It's not just me doing all the talking and everybody else doing all the listening. And we had a nice talk, you know, and the more I talked and the more I thought, and as we read different scriptures, there's really two categories scripturally that I'm sure there's more than that, but two that I was thinking about that kind of most all of us should fit into. Obviously, one side and not the other, but the believer and the unbeliever. And oftentimes we read scriptures and may be a little fearful ourselves, when in reality, they're applying to the unbeliever. For those of us that are believers of the gospel of Christ and followers of Him, there's many precious promises that we need not fear. Here, Paul made a couple statements. He said, "Oh man," he's talking to you and I, man of God, those of us that know the gospel, says, "Flee these things." He'd been listing out a bunch of stuff there that we shouldn't be doing. He said, "Flee these things and do what? And follow after righteousness." That's our calling. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, hope, patience, meekness. If I wrote that other scripture down, I wanted to. It talked about, I think it was in Proverbs, but it talked about the proud, that, you know, that the proud was an abomination before the Lord. Pride and godliness does not go together. Most all of us have some degree of pride, whether we want to admit it or not. It's easy for me to look myself in the mirror and see pride in my own life. There's a young man sitting over here in our congregation that sees me every day at work. I'm sure he would have any problem pointing out some prideful thing that come out of my mouth when I'm walking the halls at St. Joe's, you know. It's just something we struggle with. It's something I struggle with, you know. And the more engaged in my daily task I am, the more forceful I am. The more forceful I am, I'm sure the more prideful I am. This last week at work was fairly stressful for me, and I'm sure Jared's seen a lot of forcefulness going on there. You know, watch out or you're going to get run down. And I don't necessarily like myself that way, and of course when I think back on it, I don't like myself that way at all. But that's a struggle of life for me, okay, and has been and probably will be until I lay this body down. But pride and stiff-neckedness is in opposition to righteousness and godliness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. I mentioned this, I think, last time I preached, and I wanted to mention it again real quick. That's the goal. Sometimes we get so caught up in church activities or you know, what we're doing or what we're not doing or what someone else is doing that they shouldn't be doing. Get a hold of the fact that the Lord has lived and died and resurrected that we might have eternal life. That's the goal. Something that's going on this week or next year may be important. It's not the goal. How I look at you or if I think you're a good, righteous guy or not, doesn't matter. The goal is eternal life. And Paul here says, get a hold of it and hang on to it. You know, that hang on to that profession. And I hope that we have. I hope you've declared yourself to the people around you. I had to work yesterday morning. I had to work this morning and again this afternoon. We have a particular process going on at the. It's a type of flooring that took 7 consistent days, a process every day. And we don't like to work on Sunday. And when I told the owner of that company that his guys were going to have to work on Sunday, I told him, you know, I said, I'd be the last guy in the world that I feel bad about asking you to work on Sunday. I know the owner of that company and known him for several years, and I know he's a Christian man. And he and I went to breakfast yesterday morning. We're sitting there watching his guys work, and he said, hey, you want to go to breakfast? Breakfast. And before I could say anything, our food comes, before I could say anything, he says, why don't we pray? And he bows his head and offers a nice prayer, you know. And so, you know, declare yourself. If you haven't, to the people around you, to the people you work with, they need to know that you're a believer, that you're a follower of the Savior, and we better keep moving. Romans. Let's go to Romans and just read a quick verse or two there. We're going to read in Romans, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read starting in verse 34. A very familiar verse to all of you. One that I believe there's at least one or two songs written about. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that rose again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We've identified the topic, Jesus Christ. Now he's going to ask us a question, the Apostle Paul. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He's asking a question. How founded are you? Is some trend, some fad? You know, I see a lot of people where I work, they come and go, and patients and employees, and I think there's 3,500 employees there. So obviously I can't see them all, you know, 3-4 shifts a day. And sometimes it kind of saddens me that I see so many people just following one trend or one fad after another. Where's haircuts or dress or tattoos or jewelry, whatever it is, you know. I get guys that I'll see and then I won't see them for a year or two. And when I see them again, they look different. They're following a new fad, you know. And for us, for you and I, and, you know, I wanted to make mention of that. I heard wonderful testimonies this morning. I really appreciated that. And I appreciated the honesty, I guess, in that how the Lord has continued to reach out to us. And I don't want to ever forget that. And that even though we struggle from time to time, he is faithful. We're not always faithful, but he is faithful. But here Paul asks us a question, what's going to separate us? And he continues on in the 36th verse, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's who we are. You know, and sometimes my wife will be talking to me about one thing or another or some injustice in the world. And you know what? In my not-so-good way of communicating, I'm like, get over it. That's just the way it is. We're not going to fix it. The Lord has called us to be counted worthy, sheep for the slaughter. We're going to struggle. This life is going to be a struggle. But the Lord is faithful in assisting us. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Somebody said this morning, who was, that they run with all their might, but they're running the wrong way. Was that you, Chris? Yeah, I can relate to that. I run from before the sun gets up until after the sun goes down. Never sit down. and at the end of the day determine I've been headed the wrong direction, you know. And so I relate to that. And here, this verse 37, that's what that's really addressing. That you and I can beat our head against the wall all day long and not be successful. But we are conquerors, we are victorious through Christ, He who loved us. Verse 38, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's nothing on this planet, or any other planet for that matter, that can separate us from the love of Christ. There's nothing there. We find ourselves separated from God and from His Son when we separate ourselves, when we move off from Him. He's not going to separate Himself from us. Food for thought. Let's continue. Philippians. I know it's here somewhere. It was here earlier. Come on. There it is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Again, Paul writing says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." He's talking to the body of Christ, to you and I, that we might be like-minded. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." You know, I think it's human nature that we like to have our name in the limelight. We like to be recognized, even if it's just a pat on the back. You know, I'm going to tell you a little story about me getting a little teeny tiny pat on the back real quick. And I liked it, but then I thought of this right here. I thought, you know, we're doing a project down there that a man and his wife donated several $1 million to St. Joe's Hospital. They're elderly, quite elderly. They wanted to come visit our site this week. Up my stress level a little bit more. I got two elderly people, one with a cane and one with a wheelchair, going to be toured through an active construction site. Somehow that doesn't make a lot of sense, but we were glad to have them because obviously they're picking up the tab. Well, it turned out that the gentleman wasn't able to come. He wasn't feeling good, but his wife came anyway. She was just the sweetest thing. And we walked through the whole thing and had a lot of other people with her. And later, you know, here come the emails. "Oh, thank you, oh, thank you, oh, thank you." I thought, see, we did good. But is that what motivates us in life? I hope not. Is that what motivates us in the gospel? I hope not. It can, if we're not careful. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others." Do we do that? I hope so. I hope you're just as interested in your brother or your sister having what you have, being able to do what you do. It's not a race against each other. It's not a race to see who has more or less. That's not what it's about. There was kind of a joke between the guy who started my company originally, and he had several brothers, and they all worked at Arizona Door and Sash, which isn't even around, but place making doors and molding and stuff in downtown Phoenix. Been there for years and years. But the joke between these brothers, he who dies with the most toys wins. And for them, toys were tools. I could fall into that category. And so, again, we have to be careful. It's not about what we possess. It's about what possesses us. and that we don't, I don't know what the right word to say. For me, my wife says I'm a hoarder. I got a shop full of junk. That we don't hoard stuff that somebody else could be using. Whether that's money, whether that's our time, whether that's our stuff. That we have the same mind one for another. Okay. That was all the introduction. That was just to get you up and thinking. We're going to go to 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. And like I said, I hope after all that, this all somehow starts to gel. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 8. I think. No, I'm in 1 Peter. I was like, that doesn't look right. Here Peter's given us some insight on some of the nature of God as well as some instruction for you and I. He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. That tells me the time's measured unto man and not unto God. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, in our day and age, there's a bazillion different brands of religion, isn't there? A lot of them have a Christian label, and they teach different things. Of course, we believe we have the fullness of the gospel that was restored by the hand of an angel. But wherever you fit into that category, the Lord's desire, His nature, His real desire for mankind is that none would perish. Those Muslims that's running around over there in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're killing anybody and everybody that doesn't believe the way they do, the Lord doesn't desire that they perish. They're His children, and He desires that they would also, just like you and I, come to repentance. A key factor in a believer's walk is repentance. Let's read another verse or two. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Again, He's given us some input or some understanding on how the Lord looks at things. How He's looking at it. I think it's so hard for us because we're carnal. We're physical. Everything we know, for the most part, is physical. But here, Peter's saying, it's all going to be burned up. It's all going to be burned up. Is that fearful to anybody? Is that fearful to anybody? I'm going to tell you right now, it shouldn't be. It should not be. It should be respectful to you, because you don't want to be sitting on the wrong side of the fence. We fear God because we know He is exacting in all His ways, but should not fear Him, for we know He loves us beyond anything we can comprehend. Is there a place for us while this earth is being meld with fervent heat? You bet there is. I don't know exactly how it's all going to go down. But for His children, we need not worry. Our worry in life is to make sure that we're His children. Our worry in life is to make sure we're numbered among the righteous. Verse 12. Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I've asked myself this question. Am I wanting this day to come sooner than later? In all honesty, not really. There's days I get up, I'm like, I'm ready today, Lord, let's get it over with. You know, the older I get and the tireder I get, I'm looking forward to some rest. And I'm dead serious when I say that. But at the same time, you know, I want to see kids grow up. I want to see what's going on 10 years from now, 20 years from now. I may want to go hunting or fishing. So to say that, as Peter here, the hastening of the day of the coming of God. The only reason I want to see that, because I know what's on the other side, is so much greater than what we're dealing with here. And that every person, whether old or young, the Lord has a perfect plan for. A perfect plan. Verse 13, did I read that? Verse 13, nevertheless, we according to the promise, and that's, you know, oftentimes we emphasize, hey, the earth's going to burn up with fervent heat, you better repent. Well, it would be a good idea. But at the same time, I want to emphasize to this group of people, the believer, nevertheless, we according to the promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We have nothing to fear. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you live in repentance, you need not fear. This is not a fearful story. We look forward to the promise of a new heaven wherein and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Those are key words. In peace, now, as we live in a difficult time, some might think, without spot, and blameless. We look forward to that. We don't have to run and hide. We look forward. Let's go to 3 Nephi. I promise there is a quiz coming. Chapter 11. Verse 30. This was when Christ was here in the Americas, and he had quoted Malachi to the people here. In verse 30, and it says, He did expound all things, even from the beginning until the end, until that the time that should come in His glory. Yea, even all things which should come upon the face of the earth, even until the elements should melt with fervent heat, and the earth should be wrapped together as a scroll, and the heavens and the earth should pass away, and even unto the great and last day, when all people, kindreds, and all nations and tongues shall stand before God to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. But let's don't stop there. We know that day's coming. And it should be motivating you to live right, okay? Whether you're going to die tomorrow or you're standing here when the Lord comes, really is immaterial. That you live today to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. But let's continue. Verse 33. And it says, if they be good to righteousness and everlasting life. That's a hope. That's a promise. And if they be evil to the resurrection of damnation, being on a parallel, one on the one hand and the other on the other hand, according to the mercy and justice and holiness which is in Christ, who was before the world began. So this is no secret. It's no new thing. You know, I've read a couple scriptures, and I think I have one more. No, I'm fibbing to you. The next scripture I have is something different. But it talks about the earth melting with fervent heat. What does that mean? Anybody seen any volcanoes lately? There's been 4 volcanoes in the last couple weeks. I can't tell you where they're all at. One was an island. The first one was in Chile. Anybody have any idea what temperature that stuff's coming out of the ground at? I wrote it down here somewhere. We know? Anybody? Come on. I didn't know before I looked it up. Lava comes out of the ground at between 1,300 degrees and 2,200 degrees. A little surprising, actually. I thought it would be much hotter than that. I didn't think you could just melt rocks and everything at that temperature. Ooh. That's not the surprise. Don't get nervous, Jimmy. What is this? Does anybody know? What is in this blue bottle? Butane. This may not work. Does anybody have any idea how hot this is? Jim, this is where the quiz comes. Nathan? Jimmy? Of course, we know the short blue flame is much hotter than the other flame, as well as the yellow, if I can get a little yellow. The yellow flame is not hot. Well, I mean, it's hot to burn you, but it's not hot enough. Does anybody know? How hot's that torch? Nathan? Propane torch. Propane, natural gas. What's it burn at?
Probably around 900 to 1,000 degrees.
That torch, like it says, is 1,900. That short blue flame is going to be 1,900 degrees. What happens if I inject a little bit of oxygen into that? Anybody know? They said somewhere around 32 to 36 with propane. Then we can, 2820. Hubert, you're absolutely right. I was looking at the wrong thing. Acetylene, let's step it up one. Acetylene, what does it burn at? Not oxygenated acetylene, just acetylene. Stephen, do you know? What's that? 35 is what this said. I looked at a couple different things, and they are actually different. And what happens when we put some oxygen to that? Way up there, around 6,000. So then the next question is, what is kind of heat is it going to take to melt this earth? Anybody know? What temperature Fahrenheit, let's talk Fahrenheit here. I don't understand Celsius. What temperature does it take to melt aluminum? Aluminum. About 1,200, about 1,218. How about something a little harder, like, say, cast iron? Around 2,200. Okay. So this torch here is going to struggle to really get cast iron hot enough to do anything with it. Acetylene would, obviously. Okay? And I just, this was just fun for me, maybe not for you, but nickel is about 2,600. Steel is about 2,500. Tungsten is a tough one. Most of you probably don't know what tungsten is. I know Hubert knows what tungsten is. It's way up there at about 6,100 degrees to melt tungsten. And raw irons, you know, 2,700, zinc. Gold, ladies. What does it take to melt that gold off your finger? Anybody know? Well, just a little less than 2,000, 1,900 and some change. Okay? And why am I saying all this? What difference does this matter? We've read two scriptures, and there's a ton more that I read today earlier, that talks about the earth melting with fervent heat. Everything that we know, stainless steel, that's a plague to me to do anything with stainless because it's so tough. I've seen it. It's not on here. Silver, nickel. Stainless steel. It's a tough substance. Can't hardly drill it. You can't hardly cut it. You have to have special tools to work with it. The Lord says, it's gone. Not just melted into a clump, burnt up. There's a difference there. You know, these volcanoes, a couple thousand degrees coming out of the ground, it's still there, though. It just runs down the hill and cools off again. You know, but the scripture says everything we know, slump block, pretty hard to burn slump block, is gone. Burn up, you know. And so what is it that we really should be putting our hope in, our trust in? You know, for guys like me that like tools and machines that can make stuff, and the bigger the machine, excuse me, the bigger the machine, the better, you know. If I see a great big tool, stamp, mill of some kind, I want to go there and check it out and look at it. Weighs tons and tons. That's even better. Gone. Scripturally, it's gone. Doesn't exist anymore. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And nothing is going to look the same. So where, and this should be obvious at this point, where is our trust? What is the only constant that no matter how much heat comes on the earth, in the heavens just rolled up too. There's only one. And that's in Jesus Christ. He's the constant. He's not going to be burnt up. And His word is going to be the same. His promises, still good. His expectation for you and I remains the same. I want to read one more verse of Scripture. I don't know where it went, though. I think I know what it is. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. I bet you I've read this 100 times if I read it once. I'm going to read it at least once more. Chapter 1, verse 6, I think, 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." But what has He given us? "But of power and of love and a sound mind." That's the expectation. That's what's being laid down here. If you're living in fear, you need to reevaluate. Okay? If you have a fearful, healthy respect of God, that's a good thing. But if you're living in fear of what's coming or what may come or what's happening around us, doesn't matter. It's all going to be burned up. Focus. We have to stay focused. You know, my wife works over here at a school where they have little kids. And she's always telling me, "Well, these kids were crazy. They were," I said, "Deb, they're little kids. They're 5 years old. You can't expect 4 years old. Sorry, I've been corrected. 4 years old. You can't expect them to come in neat order, sit down, and be quiet. It's not in their nature." I know, but I tell them something, I turn around, they're, yeah. They have the attention span of a gnat. Okay? I'm guessing the Lord looks at me most days and says the same thing. I have an attention span of a gnat when it comes to things spiritual. Do I stay focused? That's really what Paul is saying here. You have to stay focused. Don't be fearful. Don't run off on strange tangents. He says, you know, but of love, of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of Paul his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Whatever that means. You know, if someone looks at you badly because you're a follower, oh, well, don't worry about it. Be willing to be strange, to be different. The Scripture says a peculiar people, zealous for good works. In verse 9 it says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was in us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I mean, that if that can't apply to you and I today, we got a problem. That's something we should be able to take a hold of and say, you know what? I'm not worried about death. Christ has conquered it. It's done. I'm not going to be ashamed of my testimony of Him. I'm not going to be embarrassed to bow my head and say a prayer. I'm going to be quick when the opportunity gives itself to speak up and shed the light of Christ. The light of the gospel needs to be the light of our life. It needs to bring us to who we need to be and to where we need to be daily. And as I've said in the past, you know, I really endeavor and I hope that when I have opportunity to speak, that it's something that can be used today. It's not way out there abstract, and maybe it is, and I hope not. But the scriptures I read today, and I hope they fit together to some degree, there's things coming. And we hear a lot about it. You know, watching news, you see these people doing strange things all over the planet. You know, we can look in our own country and say, oh my goodness, things are going down the drain. And they may be. Okay? Our mission's still the same. Our commission from God is still the same. To live righteously, to reach out to those around us, and to apply the promises and the hope that we have in something greater today. Today. In our life. Whether we're old or young, it doesn't matter. That we have a hope. So we're not going to be distressed or overcome by whatever we see on the news tonight. I'm not going to go running out with my hair on fire. What little hair I got. But I am going to say, you know what? I know the Lord can take care of me. When my neighbor runs out with his hair on fire, then I'm going to go out and say, you know what? I know the Lord can take care of you. Opportunity to let the light of the gospel shine. Hope you got something out of that. Thank you.